Whew. Sometimes as a preacher, you just wish the worship keeps going on and on and on. More because it means you don't have to preach. Sometimes, other times it's like, well, what's the point of preaching? Because God's kind of done stuff already. Let's just pack up and go home. You know, so I'll do my best to try not to waffle on too long. But I have to be perfectly honest and say that this has been actually quite a hard preach to prepare for. Preaching on the apostolic as we get into this series on Ephesians chapter 5, what we refer to as the gifts, apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the shepherd, and the teacher, abbreviated to APEST. Sometimes it's always good just to have a little bit of the vernacular or the acronyms that are being thrown around. But as I said, this has been a bit of a hard preach to prepare for because I feel like I'm being asked to preach about myself to some degree. It entails some introspection, some know thyself type moments when you're trying to prepare for this. And for those of you that do know me, and that's not my strong suit. I don't like looking inward. As we'll get in, understand and talk a little bit about A's or apostolic type personalities or characters or ministry, we don't like looking at all that touchy-feely stuff, introspective moments. So it's a tough one to prepare for because it's also such a big subject. And to condense it down into the 20 minutes, speaking of which I better start the timer, otherwise we could be here a while. It's like taking my 41 years of life and condensing it into 20 minutes. So how do you do that? I'm Rowan Mallon. I'm the son of Andy and Beryl. I was born on the 18th of June in Addington Hospital in Durban. My parents got divorced when I was 6. I got saved when I was 12 or 13, and been in church pretty much ever since. I got married when I was 34. So there's quite a gap between when I wanted to be married and when I finally got married. But thank you, Jesus, I got married. Yeah, I'm the father of, well, firstly the husband to Sarah Lee, and I'm the father of Lincoln and Lucy. And if you hear that, you know a little bit about me, but you actually don't know a lot about me. Yeah, and so trying to condense this topic, I'm going to have to skim, I'm going to have to brush it, and I'm going to try and give you some of the highlights and apologize if you have any questions. You know, hopefully they'll come out in the other talks as well, but please come. I've been reading books upon books upon books of this, not just in the last couple of weeks, but over the last 2 or 3 years. And I really wish I'd learned more about this so much earlier on in my Christian walk. But last night, a bunch of the boys, we went and watched Top Gear. I just had to find a way to sneak that into my preach this morning. It was Gary's 40th, and I mean, Top Gun, Tom Cruise, we're talking F-15s, 14s, F-18s, F-22s, fifth generation fighters, 10 Gs, hypersonic, super hypersonic, I mean, some words I'd never, you'll see hopefully that comes through in the preach and that I want to just plow ahead at 100 miles an hour. But something that struck me in the movie was a few comments that Tom Cruise's character, Maverick, made. And that he kept saying, that's not who I am. Especially in the first quarter of the movie. And obviously the rest of the movie unfolds about how he embraces some of that and understands that. So I'm not going to go into that for you, those of you that do want to watch it. I'm assuming just the guys. No spoiler. Ah, there we go. Lovely. Thank you. Yeah. But I was just struck by the fact that he was very clear around that's not who I am, which adversely or counterintuitively also says that he knows who he is. Yeah, he knew what his box was. He knew what his set of strengths and skills were. And again, like I say, I wish I'd come to grips with that understanding and that identity in my life at a much younger age. I'm not faulting any of the men that have led me, the youth groups I've been in, how I was raised, those have all played context into that. But understanding who I am and my box, my strengths, has allowed me to grow and flourish. And to be perfectly honest, it's only happened in the last 4 or 5 years. As much as I've been saved for such a long period of time, you know, it's like I say, it's something that I wish I'd understand more. Struggled with self-confidence, always wanted to be at the back. I didn't want to be noticed. You know, flies against the calling of God on my life. But because I didn't understand what he was trying to do with me and how he was trying to work through me, I almost hamstrung myself. And again, referencing the talk last night, he was a 20 or 25 year veteran, and yet he never passed the rank of captain. And again, one of the scenes in the movie was, you should be an admiral by now, you should be leading, you know, a lot more men. But it took him a while to get over the things that were holding him back, you know. And in the Christian context, this understanding is for me very similar when we start asking the question, who has God made me or us to be? Yeah, I've been saved for a long time, and like I said, I really wish I started to understand this fivefold ministry, as it helped me to, as I started to study and look into this and understand the calling and the gifting that God has for me. It started to ground my life. It's given me faith and it's put me on mission. Now, even in saying that last couple of lines, I can hear in my own head I'm starting to sound like an A or an apostolic type. By no means do I class myself as an apostle, and there's no ways I'm putting myself in the likes of Paul and so on from the Bible, or even, you know, some of the great apostles that have come through the life of the church globally over the last 20 or 30 years. No ways from that point of view. But I want to take a few moments to dive into what it means, and then we'll look at what this means for us now, and then hopefully we'll get to say how this outworks in our lives. Okay, like I say, I feel like this preacher is about letting you see into me, so we could be here, you know, and I don't know how many of these topics we're going to get through, but let's see how we go. What does it mean, firstly, number one, to be apostolic? I've never heard of this guy, but it sounds really fancy when I say, to quote Daryl Gooda, but he's quoted by someone that I read a lot, so he must be pretty clever or fancy or anything like that. But the apostolic ministry ensures that the church is always centered on its calling to be an agent, an instrument of God's mission, and that everything it is and does relates to and demonstrates that calling. The very term apostolic is a non-religious Roman word for the one who is sent. Another theologian that I read defines it as sent or purposed. And I have to be perfectly honest here, I've wanted to include this line from the Avengers in a preach for as many times as I've preached. But I can't help but hear Loki in my head going, I am burdened with glorious purpose. Yeah, and imagine if we had that thought when we came into church every week. Yes. I am burdened with glorious purpose. Love it. Yes, that went down way better than I thought. Apostolicity, as defined by Alan Hirsch, is the inbuilt, culturally embedded drive to ensure that the church is faithful to its missionary calling. The great apostolic declaration from Jesus comes from Matthew 28. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So how does this scripture and mission affect us now? I'm just going to read a little portion from, I love it when your kids draw you little things and they become your bookmarks. So just quoting from Alan Hirsch's book here, 5Q, a lot of the apostolic mission in the church has kind of been pioneered by him. Julian referenced them a little bit last week. But in the power of the Holy Spirit, the apostolic person is imbued with an innate sense of the big picture purpose of the organization. In its mature, idolized leadership form, the apostle, in brackets the sent one, is the person most responsible for the overall vigor as well as extension of Christianity as a whole, primarily through direct mission and church planting. Not surprisingly, the apostolic type tends to favor the entrepreneurial edges of the church and have a natural capacity for adventure. So for me, growing up as a kid, I always wanted to be at the back, never be seen, just kind of on the edges. I felt like I was an outcast. I felt I was lonely. I felt I didn't have friends. But when I started to read this, I actually see the calling of God on my life. I always wanted to go in a different direction. I didn't want to be going with the crowd. It wasn't, you know, because I was just trying to be odd, although I was probably a little bit weird at growing up as a kid. But I didn't see things the way other people did. I didn't see things the way my friends saw things. I was always looking bigger. I was looking beyond. They tend to be less risk averse. Now, this is my claim to fame, in that in South Africa, we have an event called the Red Bull Big Wave Surf Contest. For those of you that do a little bit of surfing, Mavericks, Jaws are these places where these guys go and surf 40, 50, 60-foot waves, bigger than the ceiling. And we had a South African guy, a Christian guy, came into our church, John Whittle, and he was surfing in the big wave contest. I mean, this guy was cool, came from like a radical background, phenomenally saved, and here he was, counterculture, in the surf culture, in a church, you know, loving Jesus, you know, and surfing like mountains of water. And you know, just to say, you know, one day I went and asked him, "Hey, John, can I have one of your old boards?" The board was 8 foot tall. And I remember one day, again, I just don't know what I was trying to do, but again, I paddled out in 20-foot surf in Durban. And I have to be perfectly honest, it took me 45 minutes to catch my first wave. It also took me about 35 minutes to get out there. So by now, I've been out for about an hour and a half in these massive, like 20-foot waves. You know, to say that there were three other people out there is probably, those are at least the people I could see. There probably wasn't more than a dozen at the most. This was really only for the crazy people. I don't know why. Maybe you could say I had a death wish. I didn't, but probably came pretty close. Sarah keeps saying there's a fine line between bravery and stupidity. You know, but I went out surfing. I was trying to be John Whittle. I wanted to be a radical Christian who was not afraid of anything. And, you know, I got one wave in and I was not prepared to go back out. And I realized I wasn't as brave as I thought I was. But I'm still less risk averse than everyone else in the room. Okay. Those who fall under the forms of following this pioneering instinct, they are the ones most likely to engage at the edges of the organization, to innovate, and to extend the faith into new ground. They therefore provide the catalytic, adaptive, movemental, translocal, pioneering, entrepreneurial leadership needed to spark, mobilize, and sustain movements. A lot of wordy things there from what I've just quoted, but he flies these big ideas. You know, and having read a portion of the book, I immediately identify with all those words. Now, a lot of those words would have just sounded over the top, doesn't make sense, but I get pumped. I've gotten so excited as I was, / nervous when I was paddling out in that wind, those waves, but you kind of knew you got to paddle fast, otherwise you're going to die. You know, so I start to read this stuff and I start to understand identity and I want to start running through walls. Yeah, but to the rest of you that not necessarily in this apostolic, entrepreneurial, or identify with these movemental type words, you know, this might just sound like a little bit of rubbish, you know, a bit over the top, nonsensical. So how does this play out? And I'll be honest, this is one of the things that I've been struggling. Julian always likes to say, "Hey, ground it, give us examples. How did this work?" And I'll be honest, I haven't had an example in terms of how this makes sense to me until 10:45 last night. And thank you, Jesus, for inspiration that didn't come from Top Gun. But the easiest example I can think on a practical day-to-day level is to take a moment to honor Adrian. So for those of you that don't know, Adrian also has an A-type personality. Stuart does, Ben does, is a fifth. There's five of us, as far as I know. Yeah, okay. But I could have honored any one of these men. Just for me, it made sense to take a moment to honor you. But yeah, I was thinking about this. Every time Julian has a problem that needs fixing, your phone will turn to Adrian. I can say that beyond a shadow of a doubt. Because we know from years and years and years and years and years and years and years of service to this church. That's only about six. Yeah. He's just the guy that gets things done. He serves week in and week out, very rarely gets burnt out, over said service, so think about putting up PAs, cleaning, sorting out things, and he completely understands and appreciates that, for example, the sound needs to get set up every week, because without it, we would struggle to hear, or to some degree, it's a small congregation today. The worship wouldn't be as good, because we wouldn't be able to hear all the nice tones coming from Stuart's fancy guitar and Francis and Stuart's voices. And the message brought by the preacher today, me, or in previous weeks, all the other guys that get up here and preach, we wouldn't be able to hear those preachers because they wouldn't get onto the internet to be heard by whoever will listen. And he'll do it without needed acknowledgement or a pat on the back, because he's on his mission to fulfill the mission of God on his life. So he's not working for the pat on the back or the applause from us, although I wanted to take a moment, and I know we've done it in Hub, but it just seemed fitting to do it in this moment. But he knows he's working for a Savior. He's working for his Father, who set him a task, and he's faithfully executed it. You know, the eight type people are those type of people that just, we're task-driven, we have half vision focused, big idea type people, nitty-gritty stuff. We can be good in it if it helps with the bigger picture, but it tends not to be our comfort zones. Other examples in terms of this is that we're focused on extending Christianity. What does that mean? Well, we're not comfortable in a room. As much as I love coming and worshiping and being in this room, I love the setting up. I've been in churches, the best times I've had churches were churches that were in tents or halls, because I just think there's something of a movement, something of a mission. It just gets in me. And people used to moan about setting up the church. We had for a period at Glenridge, the church I was in, we met in an outside tent that could seat 750 to 1,000 people every week. Not exactly the tent or the marquee itself, all the sound equipment, all the chairs had to be put in. End of the service, all of them had to be get out. And a lot of the guys used to hate being on that roster. I absolutely loved it. Yeah, it's because I understood it was a mission. It was like, hey, we're in a tent, like the people in the promised land. You're now talking to me about Joshua taking the land. You know, you can see I start to get up. I get excited about movement, and the role of the apostolic type person is to maintain movement, focus, always compliance around the big ideas, the DNA, what drives our church. You know, what's the point? Where are we going? You know, cultivate entrepreneurship. Now, entrepreneurship can sometimes talk about business, but even in the life of our church, you know, it's looking at a problem and finding a solution, I think, is the easiest way, or one of the easiest way, to define entrepreneurship. The A-type personality helps us to maintain healthy networks. You know, I'm always the guy who knows a guy. I don't know if you ever got into or know of Barney Simpson from How I Met Your Mother, but he's always got a guy for a guy. You know, he's got a guy. Oh, you need your suit. I got a guy for you. Oh, you need your shoes cleaned. Oh, I've got a guy for you. You know, and us A-types, you know, we know how to connect people. We don't necessarily want to know all the details. Like, I don't need to know like how your birthday was 3 weeks ago, but I'm glad it's your birthday and I can connect you with this person who can help you with the jumping castle that you need to make the kids happy, because I get networks. I get that synergy that comes from that. I love to maintain unity, you know, and mobilize effort. I love the fact that we've got so many people in the life of this church that just serve and serve and serve. Can I just say, let's keep doing it, because we're on a mission. If you need encouragement or if you're sick of serving, just come and speak to me. Yeah, I'll give you a few G's. You know, just get you mobilized. It'll get you keep going. You know, I said to Junior, I don't think he believes me. I'm going to say it publicly. As much as I'm grateful for the fact that we have people that have volunteered to serve coffee, I actually love serving coffee every week. Do you know why? Because it actually gives me rest. I rest when I serve making coffee for people. Don't understand it. I don't have a clue how that works. But I get really happy watching other people be blessed. And it sounds as simple as a cup of coffee, but be blessed by a cup of coffee. So again, a practical example of how this would work from a church context. So in building relationships within the life of the church with other churches, I don't know if you know, Julian's got up and he led the church, the intercity church prayer meeting. You know, he was down in Glasgow representing Perth, and a few other churches at a big national convention. There's a very funny story there if you want to have time to Julian to tell you that. But he was underdressed for a very, very big occasion. But Julian has taken the commitment of this church and the apostolic nature in the heart of this church and connecting us with other churches, building networks. We're involved in CAP and Safe Families. And at a personal level, the motivation for each of us is to get involved in those causes. Or as an A-type personality, I want to be involved in things that are bigger than me. Okay. So how does this apply to us now? So going back to what Julian said last week, Jesus is the fulfillment of the Ephesians 5's gifting, but he's apportioned it to each of us, almost so that no man could boast in his own strength or ability. It blows my mind. And this has struck me recently, but he's actually setting that example so he can mirror the Trinity to us. He can mirror the interrelational connection of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He wants us to understand that we have the ability to function in that, wants us to understand that we have the need to rely on and trust in other people. Because in our weakness, he makes us strong. I just think that, I'm not saying I'm not necessarily weak as an apostle, but you might be weak in that area. And so when we connect and we rub shoulders, I hopefully give a little bit to you and you give a little bit to me. I'll jump into that now. We all have the ability to function in other areas. And so this is the great mystery and beauty of the church, that when we co-labor together, we bring out the best in each other. Okay, to be honest, gotta turn your pages properly. So Jesus is trying to work through us to make sure that we can bring out the best in each other. So how does the church make you better? And how does me being in the church make you better? And how does you being in the church make me better? See, I learn from the shepherd heart of Tory Brown, who just can't help but love on ducks or humans. I mentioned Sue on a number of occasions, but I find, as much as I love Sue and I'm grateful for her, I find her incredibly challenging. And you speak to any other A-type people, shepherds, the shepherd-type personality, that pastoral mother, loving, that connecting type thing, slows us down. It keeps us, But can I just say how many times I've been blessed by an encouraging word from Sue? And just to honor you, Tori, and Craig, but I know this is your heart. We love being in your house. It is a ministry. If you neglect that and don't think it's important, can I just remind you? The Mallons come away from the Browns refreshed every week, every time we see you. Yeah? I stand in awe of the teaching gift of Julian and Craig. I'm slightly afraid, but deeply encouraged by Emma. Because her evangelistic heart just oozes. Even sitting at the beach yesterday in St. Andrews, I was playing with Lucy, but her and Julian were just going, and it's just, I was saying this to this person, and I was saying that to this person, and I was doing this, and I sent my boss this message. It just flows out of her. It's not my wheelhouse. I can do this, I can get up, but you asked me to go and talk to a stranger in Tesco and tell them about Jesus. I need the Holy Spirit to come on a different level, I'm so grateful to God, and a great example of Francis's propheticness, that song at the end there, that just aligns us and continually seeks to align us back to the Father. To bring a little bit more personal, that's how the gifts kind of function in the church, how we play it out in this role. If none of you did those things, I would be the poorer for it. At a personal level, I'm married to a shepherd, so my wife has a shepherd and a prophetic type anointing. So she's helped me to tap into and start to understand EQ. So for those of you that don't know, EQ is emotional intelligence. That was never my strong suit. You look at me and tell me something, I don't know if you're being sarcastic, funny, you're deeply serious. She has to nudge me and kind of go, now's the right time to speak. Maybe you should think about that. I've had to learn and understand that. She's taught me how to slow down and rest. Us A-type personalities jump through walls, go on mission. What's the next big thing? How are we changing the world? She's helped me to look at the bigger picture stuff. She's helped me to rest and slow down for a second. I've helped her to look at bigger picture stuff and to understand the importance of having a vision to aim at and to understand the importance of community in achieving our goals. My wife is... She loves people. She has a deep heart, but it's not her personality. She gets drained. She finds people take from her. And I get into a setting and I serve people and I jump and I connect and I buzz and I come away from a church meeting and I just want to keep going. And so we've balanced each other out. There's been times when I've had to push her and say, "Babe, come. We got to go. We've got to hit this. This is something we're on. We've got to be at church." It's 1 week off. No. We got to go. I want our girls to know, yeah, we value that. We are at church as much as possible every single week, you know, because I want our girls to know that we're on mission and we're excited about it. And so sometimes she's had to come, but then she said, okay, well, you know, let's just not have anyone for lunch, you know, or let's just, you know, she just needs to refuel. And actually, I've started to learn to refuel, because I'll just keep going, I'll just keep pushing, you know, I'll just keep moving, and then eventually the battery's done. And just, But she's allowed me to not burn out. She's helped me and grounded me. I like to think that I've given her space to try things and fail, and I think that's something what the apostolic was really, really good at, is we encourage and want people to step out and to try things, you know, and I love it when... Yeah, no, 100%, but in particular, it's, you know, people are often too afraid to step out, you know, and so sometimes that you need me to spur you on, to take that leap of faith. I need to sit with Emma, you know, and learn how to be an evangelist, so that when I sit on the bus or I'm in a Tesco and I feel God say something, I know how to engage, I know how to start, because I'm not a natural conversationist, I'm not a natural tell me how you're doing type person. Yeah, but I've learned from my wife. Come home from work, you know, I've had a rough day, but I've started to learn, hey, babe, how was your day? Not let me offload all the cool things that I did, and I made this, and I fixed this problem. You know? And there's been times when I've had to just say, well, actually, no, babe, you haven't asked me how my day was for 3 days. You know? But that's a different conversation. But you know, it's we're learning from each other. We're pulling and we're giving each other space. So you know, we've learned from failures and we've improved on them, and the A's. We want to create space for people to do that, because like I said earlier, if you don't get up and prophesy or sing out prophetically or say hello to that person to bring people into the community, because this house has changed my life. Jesus has obviously done a much bigger work. I appreciate that. I'm aware of that, you know. But I know I wouldn't be standing up preaching if I was back in South Africa the way I'm loving God and preaching and loving the church I'm in, as amazing as the place we came from. Because in this community, something's just formed and stirred in us. And it's because people have stepped out, being afraid, or not sure if it's going to be the right word, you know, or not sure if that's the right thing to say. But it's given us space, and that, you know, and Sarah's allowed me to hit my head against the wall. You know, she's allowed me to just keep charging. Yeah, you know, and then she'll pull me aside and she'll create a space for me. She'll cook a meal for us and our family. She allows me to heal and to refresh my mind and my body. Now all the A's are going, yeah, that's great, because they know and can identify with the fact that we need that. I need that, they need that. Just in closing, I wanted to read a little bit of portion of scripture, but I just want to finish, I mean not scripture, just another portion from the book. But the thing that I think is so important about this community is I started my first business when I was 20. I was an entrepreneur, I was going to take on a business, and I was to become successful, and I was going to bless the nations with all the money I made, and pay for pastors to go on trips and do all these things. And my first business failed. I started a second business that kind of didn't do too badly, but it didn't do too well, and eventually it kind of flew away. And then I started working for some friends who could see things in me, and they started bringing stuff out of me, and I took their little business and I started to grow it. And then it grew and succeeded, you know. And then, you know, I went from working for them 2-3 days a week to working for them 5 days a week, you know. And their business kept growing. We added more staff, and they were great friends, you know, in the life of the church that we were in. You know, Christian guys, you know. And I would sit with them, and we would tussle, you know. Oh, but why are we doing it like this? What's this? And they would come with this perspective, you know. And then we would go, and then something would happen, and I'd come in, and I would say, let's do it this way, and they would go, yeah, that actually makes sense. It's not what we would do, but you've got the experience, you've got the operational thing, you know, and we would do that, and they would trust me with that. And so there was this incredible give and take. And just looking back, I'm not going to go through every single story, but I've started to realize the businesses where I've tried to work on my own or go on my own haven't been as good or haven't succeeded to the degree on the businesses where I've been in community or in partnership with people. Even at Glen Lyon, as much as Jamie was a very, very strong atheist, I was able to get in there and serve them, and in 3 years I doubled the size of their business. You know, but again, it was that they had strength, and I sat and I actually sat with Sarah and I said, help me to understand their apest. even though they're not Christian, help me to understand the apis, because apis isn't just, it's not just something that comes on us from time to time. You know, in that particular moment when I'm sitting in the Tesco, I'm going to be saying, Jesus, give me the Holy Spirit so I can be like Emma, or learn from Emma, or remind me that thing that Emma said. That's a temporary anointing. This is the intrinsic design of God in us. And we sat, and she, as we've been understanding and unpacking this over the last while, she sat and she showed me that's where Fiona's coming from with this. That's who Jamie is with that. And I started to see the Christian version of their, you know, their non-Christian life. I could take it and honor it, and I could work with it. Yeah. And so it was when they were saying things, I could look at it from the heart of how they were saying it, and I could take it, and I could take my skill with it, and I could mix it all together. Yeah. And we had this great business, and as much as that business grew because of my effort, it didn't just grow because of my effort, it grew because we were a team. You know, they bounce things off me. There's times when I had to yield to them, and as much as I didn't necessarily at times disagree with what they were thinking or what they were trying to do, we would trust each other, yeah, and we would build, and we would carry on. And the next situation, and suddenly that we had this little, or still is, this great business. Yeah, and I know that's a business context, but it's the same in the life of this church as I come into close. You know, we can't do this alone. Jesus never intended for this gifting to work itself out in our lives exclusively. It does happen because he wants me to be a better A. He wants me to be on mission and to stir people and bring passion. And 100 mile an hour, let's go for it. There's a problem, we fix it. It's not, you know, I keep saying to people as a South African, we're at the bottom of the world. We can't just phone and in our 2 hours they've flown something from Europe to fix a problem. You've just got to get it done. So coming to the UK, I had to learn to see a problem, actually wait, because as much as I was just trying to fix it, you know, you fix it and the other person gets offended because that was their job and their task that they've been doing for 15 years. And I'm just like, I just saw a problem, I'm trying to fix it. I wasn't trying to show you I was better than you. I wasn't trying to do all that, you know. But it's that 100 mile an hour that I start to control. Why? Because I've learned and I've sat under teaching. You know, that's allowed me to learn how to rest. Yeah, and I've sat under prophetic words that have allowed me to realign my heart to God. And I've married to a shepherd that slows me down and gives me rest and makes me understand Psalm 23 at a whole nother level. And then I read other parts of Psalm 23 and it's like, give me my daily bread type thing. Let's go slay giants. Yeah, there's a few preachers around that and I just want to roar and keep running. Yeah, and so it's this constant tension that we have, you know, that we are called to be in community, and it's the community that makes us better as we allow each other to learn, to be challenged. You know, I've had men sit me down and go, Rowan, this is the problem. I remember as a 31-year-old man, or 30-year-old, whatever it was, man that gave me the watch that I'm wearing now, he sat me down and said, your heart is hard. I was like, what? I love Jesus. He says, your heart is hard. And I sat in his office and wept for 45 minutes as the Father ministered to me, because I was survival mode. I was angry with the fact that I was still 30 and single, yeah, or not married. Yeah, in fact, I was single. Wasn't even close to that. Yeah. But if Mark Nyman hadn't loved on me, yeah, it all would have fallen to pieces. Yeah. And I think it's the same if Julian and Francis hadn't invited us to lunch on the first day we walked into this church, we wouldn't be in the place. I'm not saying we wouldn't be following Jesus. I know that's not beyond a doubt. Well, our marriage wouldn't be as good as it is. Our kids wouldn't be as great as they are. Because it wasn't as much as it was who they are, and we all love that. You know, it was a meal around a table with them, and they shared their lives with us. And that thing has stuck with us so much, you know. And just to say, if it wasn't for that moment, you know, in our lives, we would have been probably 5 years back from where we are now, you know, in terms of our development, our progress, our journey, our mission. And I can say that for so many other people in this room about how you've played a role in our lives. And I like to hope and think that knowing us as much as I appreciate your words at the start, you know, hopefully knowing the Mallards has been good to you. It's has helped you to look up has given you courage. So can I pray, Tom? Just in closing. I know that's been a little bit all over. It's been 100 miles an hour. Like I said, it's just been... It's a tough preach to preach about yourself and your calling and make it sound smart and clever, but I just pray, Father, for heart of courage. Can maybe put the A in a box and just in one word say courage givers, courage bringers. And I just pray, Father, that you would allow us to be brave and to open up our lives to each other. To see the positive, to see the negative, as Joanna was saying, let's look at the positives and the successes. To applaud and champion people as they step out. I used to stutter. I shared this in the hub. I used to stammer. I used to pass on my English and Afrikaans exams, all the written stuff with A's and B's. And the moment I got into the oral, or had to give an oral, I get E's and F's. But God started to work in me, and you put people around me who gave me confidence, who ministered to me, and taught me how to overcome those fears, how to get out of the situation where you start to panic and go down a road and you can't get out of it. And now I get to stand in front of people and lead and talk because I understood, they understood and could see in me the calling of God on my life. And Lord, I just pray for this morning, just you would help us to trust each other to another level, to a new degree, Father God. That we wouldn't be afraid to step out. We wouldn't be afraid to bring a word or a song, to write a check, to serve a meal, to drive across town, to give a lift. To get on mission. Maybe not to church plant just yet, but to start to build and show people the love of Jesus because of how we love in this church. Amen.